Hello, everybody. Today's podcast shares an online chat which I just did with the Personal Excellence Readers yesterday. So it was an online chat which I conducted just to connect with the readers and then to answer any questions which people may have. And it was really great just connecting with all of you in person. There were over 30 people who registered. And during the session, there were a lot of great questions asked. So I've edited down the podcast from an hour long to 32 minutes long, and you'll find questions covered such as questions on traveling, the role of relationships in life, how to deal with situations where you have a lot of fear, what to do when you have attachments to certain possessions and you can't get rid of those possessions, how to know when to continue and when to quit in your goals, how to manage comparisons when you feel like there's a rival in your life, how to know what is your passion in life, among many, many great questions. So there are some audio problems in the recording where some audio is a bit soft. I've already edited the podcast as much as possible such that it'll be a pleasant listening experience for you. So I really hope to do more online chats like this because it was a really fantastic experience. And just stay tuned to personalexcellence.co for more announcements. And I hope to connect with you in the next online chat. Enjoy. Okay, hey everybody. I think, yeah, we have quite a large group today. Okay, awesome. So, okay, just feel free to let me know any feedback in the chat box. Brian, I think I'll just take your question first. Is it okay if I read out your question to everybody?
It would be my pleasure.
So, Brian asked this very interesting question. After all of your recent travels, where is the best region in the world to live in, excluding family considerations? So for me, during my travels last year, I went to Europe and I went to United States. Before I traveled to Europe and United States, I've been all over Asia. The best place to live in, this will be a very biased answer, definitely, because it's based on your personality and on your own interests and personal aspirations. So for myself personally, I'm a very city person. I've lived in Singapore for like 26 years of my life before I started traveling. And I'm 28 right now. And so I'm a very city person. So, you know, if you ask me the cities that I love to live in, off the top of my head, it would be places like New York, London, Los Angeles, or San Francisco. And these are pretty much cities in your own right. If you are not a very city person, if you prefer more country areas, then you'll probably be some other like places. So my answer comes from a very biased place. I just love cities personally, and those will be the places that I personally recommend. Brian, where do you stay right now? Where are you from?
I work in New York City, and I just live in like a community about an hour away. So, but basically, think of it as New York City. I would not want to live in New York City. I would much prefer to live in like, say, Hong Kong or Shanghai, but I just wanted your opinion. On that, I think for an American in New York, I'm like just one of many, and even though I have, you know, a certain degree of status in New York, it's like I'm a nobody. When I go to China, I'm like a different. It's almost like I'm a different person. Strangely, I don't know why.
You find it refreshing?
Yeah, I really love the Chinese people. I mean, well, first of all, my wife is Chinese, and I have two beautiful kids that are a blend. But anyway, the point is China is just so much, Asia is just so much more of a fascinating place to me than the U.S. The U.S. is the most boring, I think it's kind of boring place.
No, I totally hear you, because for myself, like I would definitely aspire to live in the cities that I just mentioned. Mm-hmm. And it's really only because I have been in Singapore for like 26 years.
Yeah.
It's only because of a change. Like, I love Singapore. It's awesome. And if I myself was brought up and lived in New York, I would want to live in like Asia. Mm-hmm. This actually brings me to Brian's second question. Brian asked, do you think that it's possible for an adult unilingual speaker like me to speak conversational fluent Mandarin if I were to go to China for 3 months or more if needed? I mean, I think why not? Like, yeah, I think it's totally possible. I know that there's actually a survey that said that Mandarin is the hardest language to learn in the world, and I believe with reason. But I think, like, everything that I share on PE, basically, when you have the intention, I think anything is possible. Yeah, so I definitely do not see any issues at all. You did mention a point with regards to Hong Kong or Shanghai. I mean, personally, I've been to Hong Kong many times. I have not been to Shanghai, but I have been to China. I would personally recommend China if you really want like an immersion of authentic Chinese culture. Because I mean, in Hong Kong, they mainly speak
No, I
Cantonese.
understand that. Yeah.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend China over Hong Kong, but that's again from a biased point of view.
No, that actually makes very perfect sense because I'm not interested in learning Cantonese because that's not the predominant language. So I want to, so I would have to be Shanghai or somewhere else. But thank you very much for,
That's great. Oh, no problem.
yeah,
Thank
you're
you.
welcome.
Stacy, I think you asked the question, right?
I think you are doing a great job by inspiring people by writing really deep articles and by really looking deep inside yourself and trying to express your feelings, being honest to people. Do you think you have real friends right now? That on the one hand you are a friend to all of us, but on the other hand, it's I think it really makes create some distance between you and your friends and your people around because you are like ahead above them and in life and in experiences. Do you really have true friends?
I see. Okay, that's such an interesting question. Okay, so if I were to get you right, because of what I do, basically alienated me and my past friends, and do I have difficulty finding people that I can really connect with? Is that your question? Okay, let's see. Well, I think I sort of mentioned this in the articles that I have on friends on PE, but basically I guess I think the point of relationships in life is for us to take away a certain message and to learn something. And relationships don't have to be eternal, but the objective is really to touch each other and to learn from each other and to basically grow together. And there will always be a certain point where the relationship sort of doesn't seem to move on anywhere because the visions of each party become different. So maybe for myself, let's say in the past when I was in the corporate world, I would be meeting people who are in the corporate environment as well. So maybe the visions, at that point would be the same in that, okay, we want to have a good corporate career and have these amount of achievements that are related to the business, corporate environment and so on. But when I decided to quit and pursue my passion, there is definitely a huge alienation in that I could not relate to those people anymore. So I guess what it meant for me is that it was then time for me to seek out new connections, new friends, not saying that I should abandon all my old friends because I think that every single connection is still there for a reason. But perhaps, what I did at that time was I started to reduce contact with the friends who were not necessarily aligned with me in my new vision in life. And then it was time for me to sort of seek out new friends, new connections, and basically to meet these new people. And it's a very interesting dynamic because it's been 3.5 years since I'm doing this. I've definitely met a lot of incredible new people. Like it makes me realize that okay, maybe currently in life we have these like 30 friends that we are very close with. And then these 30 people for the most part make up our universe at this time. But then there are just so many people out there with so many incredible experiences that we actually will never know if we don't branch out and sort of know them. Yeah, so it just made me realize that actually for whatever stage in life you are in right now, even if you may feel like you are the only person in the world who is doing this thing right now, there are actually other people in exactly the same circumstance, whom you can relate to. And it's really about just branching out and just, getting to know them. In short, I would say there were points in the past where I did feel that I didn't have anybody I can relate to. And then I realized that the onus was then on me to really just move out of my comfort zone, seek out these people, know them. And then as a result of that, I have really met a lot of incredible people that I can totally relate with. And I think as I continue to progress, that same thing will happen. Maybe at some point, again, I will realize that, okay, the people I'm with now, we sort of have different visions. And then it's then time for me to start branching out and meeting new people. But all the while, still maintaining the connections that I have, I don't think like there's a need to kind of like severe or cut off any connections unless it's like a toxic relationship.
I was also thinking, you represent very nice and successful girl while being young, I think. And I think we are all weak sometimes and we are all really, I don't know, broken at times. And other people who you come to at such times when you are really feeling low and broken and who you can go to and tell them that, okay, today I'm really feeling bad, or you never feel bad. You taught yourself to be optimistic and positive all the time.
Oh, are you asking me whether I ever feel bad, or is that a question?
Other people, who you come to when you feel bad, like who you can go to and be really bad.
Okay, I totally hear you. Okay, yes, there are definitely friends that I can approach and I can relate to whenever there are downtimes. In a way, I also feel that my site with like all of you, like my readers, have also sort of become like a part of me whom I relate to when there's something that I want to talk about. Even though I came back from my travels, I did a lot of adjustment and reshifting in terms of where my work stands. Basically, it made me realize that what I'm doing now is basically an extension of my life now. It is a part of my life. And that is why I decided to sort of just celebrate my birthday with the readers in Singapore. And really just to start including more and more of all of you in my life. And I'm not sure if any of you noticed this, but I think that the things that I've been sharing in the past few posts have become more and more personal. And it's really because I see all of you as really, you know, like a friend in my life now. So yeah, yes.
Yeah, that's great.
Hey, Sharumati, maybe you want to introduce yourself to everybody?
I'm 18 years old. I've been reading PE for about a year.
That's great. Do you remember how you found the site?
Just surfing for personal development articles. I loved it the minute I saw it.
Oh, that's great. Have you posted any comments before?
Yeah, I have.
Okay, great. Oh, by the way, like for all of you on the call now, like just feel free to post comments on the articles if you ever have any comments. I don't know, sometimes I get the impression that maybe the articles are very long, and then sometimes maybe readers feel like, okay, if I want to post a comment, I need to post something intelligent or whatever it is. But basically, my point is you can always say whatever you want to say and just, you know, post any comments that you want to post, because essentially every time I write an article, the comment section is the basic platform that I use to kind of know like the sentiments of all of you with regards to what I just wrote. So yeah, so always feel free to just share whatever you want to share there. Sharumati, you have any questions?
Yeah, one question. Sometimes I end up having a lot of free time on my hands. Sometimes I get all these kind of, you know, unfounded fears, which have absolutely no basis in reality. Things that possibilities which might not even happen, or which if they have to happen are not in my control. I mean, how I stop that fear? It makes me very negative for days.
Okay, so you're saying that sometimes you feel that there are a lot of fears in your mind and you're not sure how to handle or address them. Is that right?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, I think that if there are a lot of thoughts or negative feelings or fears in your mind, definitely the biggest thing is not to ignore them and not to push them aside. So whatever fears that you're feeling right now, they are just fears that have been accumulated from the past. It's sort of like the more you ignore them, the more they are continue to accumulate along with whatever fears that you're going to experience in the future. So the biggest thing is don't ignore them, start addressing them. And when you address them, do it one at a time. So I know it can be a totally horrifying feeling if you have a lot on your mind, and that's totally natural, because if you have not been consciously dealing with those fears for the past 18 or 28 or 38 or 48 years of your life, then it's natural that there'll be so many fears that you have to deal with. So just take it one at a time. The brain dumping exercise that I talk about a lot on PE is very helpful. And basically with that exercise, what you can do is that just write out everything that's on your mind right now. So like maybe you feel frustrated right now, or if you feel bored or whatever, just type, you know, open a Word document, or if you like to write, use a notepad, and then just type whatever's on your mind. And you find that after like the first 5 minutes, whatever emotions that you felt at the beginning, maybe it's anger or fear or frustration or anxiety, you'll start to dissipate. And then after that 5 minutes, you can just keep writing, and you feel that your brain literally becomes lighter and lighter, like the thoughts become less cluttered, and you become more aware of what you're thinking. And I guess back to your question, Sharumati, which is about fears, at this point you can start identifying, okay, what are like the 2 to 3 biggest fears that you face in your life right now? Or maybe it's fear of failure, or fear of lack of money, or whatever it is the fear that you have. Mm-hmm. So just write them down. Mm-hmm. And after you identify those 2 to 3 big fears, then rank them, like, okay, what is my one biggest fear right now? And then focus on addressing that for the next few weeks or next few months, or however long it is you need to address that fear. Address that fear by, okay, understanding, okay, what is it? Okay, maybe if it's fear of failure, what is this fear of failure about? Okay, let me take an example of someone who wants to set up a new business. Mm-hmm. So maybe fear of failure that the business will not work. So, okay, what are my action steps to address this fear of failure then?
okay, so maybe, okay, I need to talk to people who have set up successful businesses before. Okay, maybe I need to do more research on this business. Maybe I need to have a clear action plan for this business. So set those action steps and then start taking action on them. Because the best way to really address fear is really just action. Sitting there and then feeling fearful and then feeling more fearful about the emotion will definitely not help. You only make the emotion spiral out of control. And action is basically the best remedy I've ever known for addressing fear. In short, I would say, firstly, address your fear, don't ignore that. Secondly, use the brain dumping exercise to get clarity on the fears that are on your mind. And thirdly, tackle the first biggest fear and use action to address that.
Can I ask one more question, if it's okay?
Yes, go.
If I've had a kind of a rival figure, say in school, and she's had an impact on my mind, in the sense that I'm always thinking about her, and she's already beaten me in the exams once, how do I, you know, make sure it doesn't affect me in college? Mm-hmm. She won't be in my college, and I want to make sure she's out of my head.
Got it. Okay. So what are your biggest concerns surrounding this rival right now?
She'll do better in life. Her whole life.
And then what is your goal or your vision with regards to this scenario?
I'm not sure. On the one hand, I mean, I don't want to keep the any kind of hate in my mind. I want to be friends with her. On the other hand, I feel like I really want to beat her, and on the other hand, I feel like I should just forget about the whole thing. I don't know what to do.
Okay, I mean, there are definitely various approaches to such a situation. One way you can approach this situation is keep drilling down on why exactly you feel this sense of rivalry, and then keep addressing it. And it's possible that that feeling of rivalry or fear that she might beat you might be coming from a place of perhaps insecurity, which when you really address and overcome internally, you will no longer feel that rivalry. The second way you can address this is to really understand what is your ideal scenario. Okay, maybe your ideal scenario is that you continue to be great friends with her and both of you do incredibly well in whatever it is that you're doing, and then you work toward that. One big thing that I have to say is that whenever it comes to rivalry or competition, I just wrote an article on personal excellence last week, which is about comparing. Mm-hmm. And basically, my message in the article is that don't ever feel fearful of someone else beating you or not. And that's really because everybody has a different journey and trajectory in life. So even if I know in the university context or in the work context, it might seem that everybody is always stacked against each other. Like, okay, this person has more marks than me, so this person ranks higher than me, so this person is better than me. So
yeah,
there's a tendency for professors or teachers to sort of just measure people and kind of distill them to an empirical level where people are just numbers and, you know, and everything. But definitely know that there is no competition in the sense that every single person is unique. So it's just like your friend is an apple and you're an orange. So you can't really measure an apple and orange together because all of you are great in your own ways and you're perfect in your own ways. And I feel that one bad thing that comes out of rivalry is that it is that you win, or whether it is that the person wins, there is always someone that needs to be put down. And I don't think that's necessary in life. I don't think there's a need to put down other people in life.
Mm.
I think everybody can succeed and do well and excel together. And I think that's the biggest thing that can come out of anything. So I think one thing that would help is you start seeing yourself as this unique individual, and you start thinking in terms of you yourself and your life and what do you want for your life versus how do you want to perform against her. Like, okay, this is Cheryl Marty. What does it take to become the best Cheryl Marty in this world? What should Cheryl Marty do? What should Cheryl Marty study? How should she perform in her exams? And think it in terms of your own track, your own path, and don't compare yourself with other people. Because when you do, I think that is also like an injustice to yourself. You don't want to define yourself in other people's shadows. You want to be yourself and you want to be the best version of yourself.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Cheryl Marty.
Mm-hmm.
Jessica asks, what do you do when you have emotional attachment to your old possessions? If there is certain emotional attachment to the possessions, it is good to understand exactly what that attachment is. So probably those old attachments symbolize something in your life. Take a very simple example. So for someone with a wedding ring, let's say it's a woman and she has a wedding ring, and that wedding ring represents love from her husband to her. One day, you know, she loses her wedding ring and she becomes very, very upset, and she just feels like she has failed her duty as a wife and all these connotations that come with that. But when she really thinks about it, the only reason why she became so upset is because of that attachment with the ring. And the attachment comes from her equating her duty as a wife and her love and the husband's love to her in the ring. And what she should do is really to understand that all these attachments that she have with that object doesn't lie in the object. The attachments she have with the object lies in the object only because she gave power to that object. So if she really puts this aside and really sees the relationship as it is, then all those whatever emotional attachments will just automatically disappear. Yeah, so I think the biggest thing is really understand what exactly is are those attachments. Because a lot of times I think the emotional attachments we have to objects or possessions, one is that it comes from conditioning. Second is it came when we first received those objects and we sort of just symbolized them as something else. We equated them as something else. Back to the brain dumping exercise, I always use it whenever there's any unclarity in my mind. Use the brain dumping exercise to sort of get clarity on what exactly it is that you are attaching. And when you really understand the emotional attachment, and when you really understand that those possessions are not the equivalent of that emotional attachment, then you automatically will not have any issues, even if you were to lose it or throw it away or break it. Okay, Judy from Singapore asks, what should you do when you are in a situation where you don't know if you should stop trying or try harder? Okay, that's a very interesting question, because I think we are always at this crossroads. Like, I think with every single thing we do in life, we are always at this stop where we're wondering, okay, should I press on or should I just stop? And I think the big thing here is to take a step back and then to ask yourself, what is it that you're going for? Like, what is this end goal? And is it in line with your vision in life? Okay, so like, for example, for me, building the blog is hard. Building the business is hard. Like every single stop I am at, like there's always new obstacles to be faced. But the end goal, like the vision, the message that I'm doing, like basically to touch other people's lives and to reach out to other people is my life. It's my purpose. And for that reason, it is worth it. Like, no matter how hard the obstacle it is, no matter what I have to overcome, it is definitely worth it. So there's absolutely no question as to whether I should continue what I'm doing at all. Whereas if it's something else, and this something else may not be a real priority in my life, or it may not be something that I'm really passionate about, then the question to me is, okay, is it something that I really want to trade off these resources for? And then if it's not worth it, then I'll just drop it. So I think whenever you're at a crossroads as to whether to continue or to drop something, then you have to take a step back and then ask yourself, this thing that you're fighting for, this thing that you want, is it in line with your vision in your life? Okay, if it's in line with your vision, if it's in line with what you want, then you should definitely go for it. If it isn't, you know, then you sort of have to make a priority call and to ask yourself, okay, is there something else that you would rather do? Okay, I think Stacey has another question.
Yeah, so it's going to sound a little bit silly, but I've just recently heard one thing about relationship and about family relationship in particular. So that when a woman is trying to work on herself too hard, to improve herself, to get smarter and better and more beautiful and more experienced and so on, I think you get my point. So sooner or later, she's going to get bored with her husband, and she will probably start looking for somebody else, somebody better and more interesting and so on. And this really scares me, because on the one hand, I'm a fan of self-development, but on the other hand, my husband is not. And I'm really afraid if I work on myself too hard and concentrate on my development too hard, at some point I will find myself bored with him and eager to find something else. So what do you think about it? Maybe it's just some stupid idea and absolutely wrong, or maybe there is something about it.
Okay, got it. That is a very, very interesting example that you shared. Okay, I guess there is basis behind it. Like, it makes sense. Because if I think about it in terms of just relationships, right? When I say relationships, I'm referring to all kinds of relationships, so including friendships and romantic relationships and business relationships. And I guess I always see romantic relationships as a very, very intense form of friendship. Okay, so whatever it is that applies for friendship definitely applies to like the nth level for romantic relationships. And I think for any relationship to basically sustain and push through time and to basically last through time, I think it's important that both parties have the same vision and have the same intentions and pursuits not necessarily the same goals, but have the same intention to maybe better themselves and so on and so forth. So your example about how if a woman keeps improving and working on herself, that there'll be a point where maybe she wants to find some other guy, it makes sense in the context of if the woman is focusing on improving and the husband is not, then maybe there's some fundamental incompatibility there. Relating to your situation, you mentioned that you are very passionate about growth, and you definitely are, but your husband might not be so. So I don't know why it is that he's not as passionate about growth as you are. Maybe it's something that you want to like just discuss with him about, but without judgment, without saying that he must grow or whatever it is. But because I'm sure he has his own aspirations in life, aspirations in the things that he's passionate about. And if you were to just talk to him about it and to understand what are his goals and intentions, maybe there are actually things that he's doing in those areas that you're not aware of or something like this. But I definitely think that open communication is very, very important. And if you think that there's something fundamentally that you might be missing, that you should talk to him about it and then sort of work it out together. I don't know if the answer helps at all.
Yeah, I think you're right, truly right. But if maybe I just don't see something, maybe I just he just doesn't share with me how he's working on himself and moving toward his goals. Maybe I just women prefer to speak while men keep it inside. So maybe I just don't see something.
And I think for whatever it is that you feel inside you, you shouldn't bottle it up. I think if it's a big thing and if it's really bothering you, you should definitely talk to him about it. And I definitely don't think that you should hold yourself back or force yourself not to grow, you know, just so that you continue to feel compatible in the relationship. Because if you do that, you're just limiting yourself and limiting your growth. And you're also not living the best version of yourself. And you'll also be letting yourself be driven by fear.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Stacey. Alexis's question, what would you say are the first steps someone should take to really begin improving themselves or their life? I feel like there's so much that can be worked on, it's hard to know. I would say that it definitely depends on the stage of life the person is at and where the person is. So like for example, this exact same question, I can probably give like different answers to different people based on where they are right now in life. So I guess the question back to you, Alexa, if you really look at your life right now and you look at where you are, what do you think are the biggest areas of change or improvement you want to see? Alexa is actually taking the Live a Better Life in 30 Days program that we are currently doing for the July run to the task in day one with the live view. What are the biggest areas that you feel are your biggest priorities right now? And I think the easiest way is to just start off with that 1 to 2 big priorities and work on them without bothering yourself or without complicating yourself with the other areas. Because I know that in the life wheel, there are 11 areas. Sometimes it may be overwhelming if you look at all those 11 areas and you realize that, oh my God, there's so many things I want to do. Like, what should I do, you know? I think just focus on those 1 to 2 big things. It's like what I said in the Superstar Effect article, which I wrote 2 weeks ago. Focus on that one big thing that really means the most to you. And then just work on from there. Just build on from there. Because you'll find that, okay, after I finish that one big thing, okay, then start working on the next big thing. So if I give an example, let's say 3.5 years ago when I quit my job, my biggest priority in my life at that point is definitely to get my passion up and running, to build up my business about my passion and to basically establish it. So that was my priority for the next 2 years or so, you know, really establishing it. And then after it became established, then the amount of work I needed to put in to build it further wouldn't be as much as in the beginning, because in the beginning, it's sort of like, you know, having a new baby and you need to put attention to it. But after that, the amount of work was not as much. Then I could focus on, okay, what is my next priority in life? Like, what do I want to do next? So, for example, right now in my life, my work, my passion is definitely always going to be something I want to do every day. But I don't have to put as much time on it now as compared to in the beginning. It gives me time to then work on the other priorities in my life. One of my priorities in life right now is definitely the romance, dating aspect. And then there's also other areas like, okay, maintaining contact with current friends, making new friends, and just socializing, meeting new people. So I guess, in short, to you, Alexa, really understand like what is the biggest thing that is the biggest priority to you right now. Identify that and then just work on that. When you do that, you find that other things start to fall into place naturally. Don't get overwhelmed if there's too many things that you feel like you should work on, because I know that sometimes inevitable to have that feeling of overwhelm. And whenever you do, just go back to the simple rule of just do one thing at a time and then just let things build on from there. Okay, I'll take the last question. Let's see. Okay, from Cheryl. Hi, I know you have written a fair bit on goals and how you find your passion. I've been trying to identify what is my goal in life, but it is still rather hazy. So any advice? Thanks. I get this question a lot where readers feel that they have goals, but they're not very sure if those goals are something that they really want to do. And I think the biggest advice or tip I can give for such situations is to basically just do it and then see how it goes. When I say just do it, it doesn't have to be full on quit your job and do that thing or dedicate like 100% of your time to do it. Try it out in a small capacity and see how it feels like for you. Because knowing whether you want to do something, it comes from two aspects. Firstly, it comes from a certain level of introspection. And secondly, it comes from having proper external experience with it. So that there's an internal world and there's an external world. And you need to have a certain amount experience with both areas, the internal reflection and the external experience, before you can really conclude that this is something that you really want to do. So whenever you are at a place where you feel that you are not sure whether something is something you want to do, it basically suggests that either you have not really reflected on it fully or you have not had enough external experience with it to make a conclusion. So in this case, you really just have to go out there and just try it and do it and see how it goes. For example, for me, before I discovered my passion and then, you know, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life, before that, I was totally going full out in every single goal that I ever had. So like in secondary school, like when I thought, hey, I want to set up a website, I really just went full out and like just did the website. Every day after school, I just did it like full time, just kept doing it again and again and again. And after that, I thought, hey, I have an interest in graphic design. And then I just started a business in graphic design. I just kept doing it over and over and over again. So it's sort of like before that, I was really going full out in every single thing that I did. And because I did that, it helped me to realize and know more about myself. Even if I was doing something that might not have turned out to be my passion today, the act of doing that helped me to know more about myself and more of what I didn't want to do and more of what I do want to do. Such that when I reached the point where I was thinking about my passion, you know, it didn't take long before it clicked and I realized that, hey, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. And this wouldn't have happened if I was just adopting the approach of, I don't know if this is what I want to do. Okay, I'm just going to sit and wait and do nothing. Okay, if I did that, I don't think I would have progressed at all, even today. I definitely think that the act of doing will bring clarity. I think introspection is definitely important, and the doing, I gather that if you ask the question, you probably have done a fair amount of introspection in your own time. And maybe right now, what's best is if you just start doing it in a small capacity, talk to certain people in the industry of the, whatever it is that the goal that you are interested to pursue in, and just to find out more about it. And then I think that will help to bring more clarity to the situation or the decision. Okay, I guess right now it's midnight. Yeah, I would love to like just go on and on and on. I mean, it's so fun to do this. Maybe I will schedule another live chat sometime, I don't know, later in the week or whatever it is. And I will announce it on the site if you guys are interested. Thank you so much to every single one of you who came today. Those who got to speak and those who got to show yourself to the other viewers and those of you who didn't get to speak but you got to type. Yeah, thank you so much, everybody. All your support really means a lot to me, like seriously. You guys are really a big part of my life. And I mean, I wouldn't be here today without you guys. And yeah, I always feel like if you guys don't exist, there's no reason for me to do any of it, that whatever I'm doing now. So thank you so much for all your support. And thank you so much for reading my articles and stuff. I mean, like I always share my full self in my articles and I really just bear everything fully. And I really appreciate all of you reading and taking your time to read them. And yeah, it really means a lot to me, all your support and love. And I really, really appreciate it. And I'll continue to share more and write more. So yeah, just continue, you know, reading and supporting the site.